This is The Hardline, the greatest show on earth.
Well, maybe just in St. Louis.
Out of all road, freak show, something to see. Got them lined up and waiting, taking bullets for me. I'm a Mack truck. I'm trucking down a one-way street. You better move, dance. My tank's on E.
The Hardline with TJ Moe, Cam Jansen, John Hadley, Bob Ramsey, and who the hell else knows?
Good afternoon, everyone. The Hardline. TJ Moe is not here. I am not TJ Moe. I am not taking Cro-Magnon defensive skills, and I am not talking about shuttles. John Hadley is here. He may pick up that mantle. And Matt Rocchio is here as well. I'm Bob Ramsey. Glad you're with us.
I'm all for crab meat.
3 minutes to pick up what you were going for with Craig Cro-Magnon.
Well, yeah, what is Cro-Mava? Java Mava?
Krav Maga.
Cro-Magnon
fighting
what
skills.
What did I say?
That's what I heard.
Same thing.
Yeah, same thing.
Come on. No, TJ's on assignment. He should be back tomorrow. Yes, John?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
TJ will be back tomorrow and get you up on everything you need to know about his life. And all those sorts of things.
Oh, and probably much too much depth.
How was your weekend?
Dude, at my age, with the way that I've lived, just waking up makes a glorious, glorious day.
And did you wake up?
I did.
Okay, good.
Somewhat.
All right, good. I had some bunch of things to talk about today. Really pretty exciting weekend. You know, my favorite months in sports are March and October. March, obviously, because of college basketball. And from the beginning to the end, I love it from the ends of the regular seasons and even the early tournaments, whether it's the Valley or some of the others, Championship Week, as it's been dubbed, wisely great marketing by ESPN to the benefit of the NCAA, but it makes everything exciting. So I'll be watching games all week. And then, of course, for me, number two, baseball, spring training, and while hope is still alive. So spring training gets, and I get all the way through March. And this year, baseball will actually start in March with regular season games. And then we're down to it in hockey. Mm-hmm. Games with real meaning. You know, where are you gonna make the playoffs? Where's it going to fall? You're playing hot to get into. So all those kinds of things. And even, you know, even got NBA on a rare night when nothing else is going on for me. So I love March and I love October. So I'm as fired up as I'm going to get.
I am pretty much the same way, although I like to define as being winter brackets, because I enjoy late winter, early spring. Starting off with Daytona.
Oh, yeah, good call.
Going through the Masters.
Right.
Because
in
between, you have various All-Star games, you have trading deadlines. You have the NHL and NBA going into postseason play, Major League Baseball starting, and, of course, the Final Four. So I call that
great call.
Late winter, early spring, late fall, early winter, being obviously the start of the NHL season, the college football season kicking into gear with conference play, the beginning of hockey, postseason baseball, yada, yada, yada. So I agree with you. I just sort of broadened the scope a little bit.
6-7 week period.
Right.
Yeah.
Both those time frames, there's so much going on. You're never, ever bored.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And with baseball now, actually, you're going into November close enough to it that, you know. But then you also have the NBA seasons. I mean, there's just everything. College basketball is around the corner. It's all that stuff. Just two best time in sports. I could not disagree. Could not disagree.
So where do you want to begin today?
Well, I think everybody wants to talk about Tarasenko, so I'll get my analysis out of the way very quickly for you and turn it over to you and Rock. The Blues aren't as good without Tarasenko.
That's almost Doug Vaughn-like.
I mean, it's just like I've been driving around all day and people are just beating this to death. And if one more person says, well, you know, the Blues have a better record when Tarasenko
Joker. Oh, stop it.
Okay.
Nobody's saying that.
Oh, no. It's like I've
in
heard,
their right mind.
I've heard three different radio stations and seen two different websites in a matter of the last 45 minutes talking about Blues have a better record when Tarasenko has a point, or Blues have a better record when Tarasenko plays. Well, I would assume so.
He's your best guy, or your best sniper. Let's qualify.
Yeah, I would think Patriots are better when Tom Brady plays. Call me crazy. Call me out my mind. But I think it's only logical.
So the question becomes, if indeed he's out, 2 weeks?
Is it me or
four, five, six
does
games,
it smell like something's burning in here, by the way?
There is some sort of funk in the air that does smell like a little bit of, maybe we got electrical fire cooking somewhere.
I'm thinking there's
Can we kick through this glass?
There's a chance I could be using my Powerade other than for drink.
Can we kick through this glass if we need to? You built this place.
We better get Cam's beverages out of here. His hydrations.
Sure. Absolutely.
You know, so, I mean, in the truest sense, when it comes to Tarasenko being out for another four or five games, whatever the case of point might be, frankly, I'm rather intrigued. I'm intrigued to see how this team does without him. Because let me tell you something right now. With Tarasenko, they're a Stanley Cup contender. I want to see what they are without Tarasenko.
Can they hold their own?
Right.
Or they can they stay on a roll?
Yeah.
For a short period of time.
Yeah. Because, I mean, they kick this whole thing off with a team that's playing as well as any team in hockey. We've discussed this on the air before. Discussed that link with TJ last week. I mean, the Coyotes are playing outrageous hockey. I want to say they're like 14-2 in their last 16 games. I mean, they
which I didn't see coming, by the way.
No. I don't think anybody did. You know, so people are going to look at Arizona and just sort of, okay. No, don't. Because as hot as the Blues have been, Arizona's been equally hot. And Arizona has some massive victories and dominant style over some pretty good teams over the last couple of weeks. So
the Blues are, quick calculations, 4-5 in their last nine. They're kind of bumping along a little bit, trying to hold their own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, still they're struggling with injuries, and that continues now with Tarasenko. And Pat Maroon got hurt at practice today. So it's Arizona tomorrow night, a red-hot team, and this goes into the next topic regarding the Blues. It's already been announced that Binnington will be in goal, and I think the way Jake Allen has been playing, what I've been saying for the last 2 months, you know, who helps me win? I'm not interested in the guys that for whom I'm knitting sweaters and baking cookies.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be dispassionate when you're down to it now. Who's the guy? If it's not you, then okay, I'll pat you on the head. You know, I don't know. I'll try and tell you. You know, suck it up and get back in there. But in the end, if you can't take it, then I certainly made the right call to put the other guy in.
Right.
When you take a look. But Allen's been playing very well now his last few games. So there are two ways to look at it. Oh, we got to play him now till he fails. Or they've been playing him just the right amount to put him in successful situations. That's where I lean. More and more, Berube is impressing me on the way he's manipulating his player usage, not just in goal, but throughout the lineup. That's why I'm interested, like you, to see what he does with the top line and how the team performs. Because Craig has been, I think he's been marvelous the way he's been using his personnel.
Almost like J.R. Ewing in his manipulative ways.
I don't know if he's as maybe treacherous as J.R., but I don't rule it out either.
See, now the millennial types.
Uh-oh, and shots fired, here we go.
And the
12 minutes in.
And the hockey wannabe coaches are going to be appalled by this.
Is that the patriarch from Dallas?
But
yeah. Got it. Well done.
I will say this much right now. If Mr. B doesn't come through big tomorrow night, I'm not so sure Because it's just stretch drive time, baby. It's just stretch drive time. What you're doing now is you've begun the playoff run.
There's 14 games left, if I'm counting right.
I'm not 100% sold on the fact that I wouldn't consider coming to the conclusion that it's time to give Allen a chance to be number one.
I think the chance is his. I think the chance is his because look at it. A couple ways to look at it. As of today, and it always changes, depends on how guys are playing, right? Right now, I'm comfortable with Bennington at home, Allen away. Now, but does he play three straight road games, which they have coming up after Arizona? Maybe not. Maybe you give Bennington one of those. I'm okay with that. Then you've got four straight home games. Probably not a good idea to play Bennington four straight games. Maybe it is. Depends if he's hot or not. But you can see there's some wiggle room philosophically depending on how guys perform. See, folks, this isn't a fan club, although we're great if there are fan clubs. That's really good.
Mm-hmm. It
means people are engaged. It's not fantasy hockey, although fantasy hockey's fine. It gets people engaged. These are real men under extreme circumstances playing for playoff life, playing for jobs, playing for their not only for the moment but for their future. There's a lot of pressure. They're real human beings. And that's why you have to have a coach who understands all these things. Not a madman like a Mike Keenan who looks at all these things as if that's some sort of social experiment. But a guy who says, I've got a team of individuals that I've got to try and put together and figure out an equation night to night to night to give myself and my team a chance to win. And that's what he's trying to do. So I think watching how the goaltenders respond and how Berube uses them over the next 10 games, we might as well just say the next 14 games going into postseason, I think it's going to be fascinating to watch. And if anybody is a fan of one goalie over the other, that's okay with me. I'm really not. I just want the team to win.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a fan one way or the other, I get it. You're rooting for one guy. But I just want to see guys perform. Your guy, whether it's Bennington or Allen, could win the job, could lose the job, or they could share the job. Obviously, those are your three choices. And it's up to those guys in performing to make it happen. That's just the way it is.
I could not agree more, although I will embellish it. Hockey fantasy to me includes fried chicken, waffles, and two Brazilian women.
And you associate that with hockey?
Hockey fantasy, yes.
I did not know that.
Yes. I'll explain it during the break. But
do they have ice in Brazil?
They don't. But they do it my fantasy.
Okay. Well, in the glass.
That's all I'm saying. I'd like to trap myself in a glass case of wonderful. Now, instead of emotions.
I got it.
But I will say this much. Once again, the goaltending, there's certain cracks that I look for. And for the most part, with Bennington, in 80% of his starts, you couldn't fill one hand with the number of goals that you're saying, oh.
Should have had that
one. Well, over the course of the last several weeks, there's been a handful of,
We talked about it on this show Thursday. He was fighting it last few games. I don't think there's any question.
Yeah.
Fighting it a little bit. And that happens. We'll see.
Nothing more, nothing. I mean, this is really a fascinating time. Because this team is still not only fighting for a playoff spot, I'm sorry, playoff spot they have. I mean, for them to miss the playoffs,
it would be a collapse.
They would only not have to play sub-500 hockey, but even playing sub-500 hockey, the teams that could catch them are going to have to play at such a ridiculous clip that it would have to be mass hysteria, dogs and cats living together for the Blues not to make the playoffs. But playoff slotting? I don't know if you were here the day that TJ and I were arguing that I thought the Blues
Which day? You mean every day?
See, that's a very good point. and being, wow, I don't even know how to describe it now. It was sometime last week that I don't think you were here.
Okay.
But
wait a minute,
you know,
I'm not,
I kept
a
arguing.
Show where I'm not here? Oh, that could be any day as well. Okay.
I was arguing the fact that I thought the Blues were going to catch Winnipeg. As it's playing out, doesn't look that silly, as TJ so proclaimed at that point. Now.
Hopefully you pointed out that 3 months ago or 2.5 months ago, it seemed silly to suggest the Blues would be a playoff
team. But when you look at the variance in schedule, I mean, it's just ridiculous. The rest of the way the Blues play like 3 or 4 playoff teams, Winnipeg's schedule, they only miss like 3 or 4 playoff teams. I mean, it's apples and oranges.
Yeah.
But now with Tarasenko, we sit back and see what happens. You know, because it's everybody keeps talking about, do you want to play Nashville? Do you want to play Winnipeg? Well, you play your cards right. You continue to play at a decent clip. You may not have to worry about either one in the first round. You may not have to finish. If you win your division, you may not have to play either one. It's going to be that much tougher now without Tarasenko. Let's see what they're made of. Let's see who steps up. Because you know what? As much of a Tarasenko fan as I have been through the years and trying to not only proclaim him one of the 10 best players in the league, but share my frustration when he doesn't give that effort.
Right.
I am of 100% belief that Ryan O'Reilly pulled it out of him this year. I truly believe that. That Ryan O'Reilly pulled it out of him and made him realize what he's capable of doing.
I think it's an argument you certainly can support.
Right. Let's find out. I mean, does Schwartz all of a sudden step up? How interesting would that be for Schwartz to find himself at this point?
I think Marty and Charlie Marlowe was at the skate today, or the practice today. I think they were speculating, Rock, about maybe Thomas moving up to the top line.
Well,
is that some of the scuttlebutt?
I believe Jim Thomas is already tweeting out that's what the new configuration was.
So that'll be interesting.
Robert Thomas has certainly earned a look-see if he
Let's
gets
get a look.
He has picked up his game, and much like Schwartz, he's created opportunities, only he's been a little bit more successful in making a difference. There's enough talent on this team that I'm not going to say they shouldn't miss a beat, but they shouldn't go winless over the next 6 because Tarasenko's not playing. Just shouldn't happen.
Well, the
top line of the skate today was Shen O'Reilly Thomas.
That'll be interesting.
What's the second line?
Maroon, Bozak, Schwartz.
And with Maroon banged up, he got hurt at practice today, so we'll see.
Yeah, Marubi said that it was a bad scare, but it looks like it's just a scare.
Well,
we'll see for tomorrow. But they do have some options. One of the things that's also interesting that came out of all that today was, and it may have been unfortunate phrasing, so I don't want to hang on every word like it was etched in stone, but I think the quote was, and maybe you can find it, Rock, Craig Berube saying, when Perron wants to play, we have a spot for him. Wants or is ready or is healthy. I don't want to read too much into it, but sometimes we like to try and decode those things.
You're not the only person who's reading into it. Jeremy Rutherford even took to Twitter to say that's been the rhetoric that he's used constantly over the last like 2 weeks. And so does that give you more insight to maybe the usage of that? Or I think JR is trying to say that we shouldn't look into it. And
that's
kind of been a very consistent way they framed it, and there's probably nothing to it.
That's why I set up with a disclaimer.
You're not the only one.
And I hate disclaimers, but I use them all the time, so there's a little self-loathing deal going on. I need to get on the couch. But
we've all been there.
Yeah, but you don't want to read too much into it, but we all try and decode coach speak. And here's the thing. A coach can legitimately be frustrated with a guy if a bone's not sticking out, if the knee's not swollen. Package, is it? Did you check to see if that was ticking? Was there any white powder around it?
We would prefer you open that up outside then bring it back in.
Yeah, open up in the parking lot. The package just got sent here. That's never happened before. There's a whole bunch of stamps like it came from Utah or somewhere.
It's like,
a cabin in Montana.
So, but
you look at the coach speak, coaches can get frustrated. You know, concussion. My gosh, it's been a month. Why isn't he back? He looks fine. He's walking around. you know, so you can see where, again, I'm reading into it. He hasn't said it, but you could see where a coach could be frustrated.
I have Rock and Rolla was here last week when I brought up the point that, and sort of sent the message out in this very regard that how frustrating it must be for Craig Berube, who probably played virtually every game of his career with a concussion.
I remember when you said that.
Yeah.
That's absolutely
and
right.
And, there's no question that that's the case. But, again, everybody handles concussions differently.
Yes.
I mean, Perron can be clear, but that doesn't mean that he feels right. You know?
Especially, he's played so well and so aggressive.
Right.
You got to be very careful.
Yeah. And when you can't have it both ways in life, in particular the media. When the media likes to be PC and the NFL this, the NFL that, the NFL this, the NFL that, and then you want to call someone a wuss because he's not playing, even though he's clear, you can't do that.
No, you cannot.
Can't do that. So if the guy doesn't feel ready to play, he doesn't feel ready to play. It's that simple. You know, I mean, let me tell you something right now. I remember distinctly at one point in time in my life saying something to my grandfather who was noting the incredible consumption of food happening at his kitchen table. That, hey, I'll work that off. To which I was berated for the next 10 minutes, talking about how the fact that I'll never work it off and that I could never work like he used to or my great-grandfather, yada, yada, yada. The point being, it's pretty much true. Just because an athlete today is bigger with more defined muscles doesn't mean he's a damn bit tougher than the boys back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. In fact, I guarantee you they're not. I guarantee you they're not. They may be bigger and they may look better. Doesn't mean they're any tougher.
100%.
You know.
So, I'm completely on board.
So I understand people are brought up the way they're brought up. Today's generation is not brought up to fight through things. And today...
Shout out to millennials. I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Here we go.
No, these pukes. Wait, I mean, they wake up with a headache.
Let me run in the hallway and get the soapbox.
Yeah.
So you can stay.
It's just... They have a headache and they're wanting a head scan. You know, put me in the machine! Unbelievable. MRI, please! I got a headache. Is this what a migraine is? No, but come here and I'll show you what a migraine is. Freaking pukes. Now.
How about some Midol?
Yeah, there's no doubt. There is no doubt that these male millennials and their fallopian tubes is a large, large issue moving forward.
Want to take a couple calls before we end our hockey convo?
Among those on the line is our...
You would know. First up.
HB.
Hockey Bob. Short leash.
Thank you, gentlemen. Hey, just a couple quick comments. You know, I do agree with John that if a guy like Tarasenko goes down and everybody's worried about them winning, then maybe this team isn't as deep as everybody believes they are. I believe they are deep enough to be able to handle four or five games without Tarasenko. And lastly, if you go back to the 2015-2016 season, at the very beginning, they were missing Schwartz, they were missing Berglund, they were missing Shattenkirk. They were missing Steen, they were missing Tarasenko, and they were missing Elliott at the beginning of the season. And the Blues had the best record for the first 15, 20 games of the season, even without those guys in the lineup. So, I mean, people think that one guy's going to make a difference, and in the long run maybe, but this team, I believe, is totally deep enough to be able to still be able to win a few games, even with Tarasenko out of the lineup. So, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Bob.
I appreciate it.
Succinct and to the point, and I liked it, and he's right. He added one small phrase that made the difference that made me agree with him in the short term. Or did he say in the long run, they'll be, here's the deal. Great players or starters or guys with heavy minutes, they're there for a reason. What frequently happens in really every sport, you can overcome the adversity of losing a key player for a short period of time. It may be, depending on your sport, a quarter, a period, a game, maybe a week, maybe even 2 or 3 weeks. But eventually, with rare exceptions, eventually the loss of that player will show up. Hmm. But can you overcome it for a short period of time? The answer is yes.
Yeah. And I could say, I mean, I used to tell my wife, baby, a minute and 20 seconds is a really long shift in the NFL. Didn't seem to matter, which is why I'm getting divorced. But I will say this much. Hockey Bob. Having gone through a battle with cocaine when I was younger, I could tell you this much right now. I try to tell everybody, cocaine's bad. Cocaine's undefeated. Cocaine is not something that should ever, ever be allowed into your life. And after listening to you speak today, I reiterate, Bob, cocaine is bad. Because, Bob, here's exactly...
In the short term, I think it helped him, though. He was succinct into the point.
That's what I'm saying.
I like that.
Bob, here's a repeat of your phone call. Short term.
It worked, though, for me.
That's all I'm saying.
His life is his own, but when he's on our show, his life is ours. We own him. So do it right. I like it.
And wash that dollar off where you give it to the cashier, mister.
Let's go to Keith. Keith is gone. All right.
Oh, Keith, guess what? Don't ever call back again. Wait to talk to Bob Ramsey, that's your problem, mister. There are very few people to get that opportunity. Thousands and thousands of people, including half the Chinese, want a chance to talk to Bob Ramsey. And if you're too good not to wait around, well, guess what? Take a long walk on a short pier, Keith.
It's really... Anybody can get a hold of me, John. It's not that big a deal.
Hey, Keith.
I'm easy to find.
Never mind. Sorry, Keith. Never. My bad.
There was another topic that I want to get to, and maybe we'll do it more toward the end of the show about the passing of Dan Jenkins. You guys may have talked about it on Friday. I don't know if you did with TJ on Friday, but I think it's really important to note Dan Jenkins. Let's do this.
I had a chance to get to know him when I was in Florida.
We'll talk about that and our experiences with him, which were really good for both of us, I'm sure. We're actually going to go to break on time, maybe even a couple seconds early. How about that? It's called Formatics Rock. It's the Hard Line.